once again for your presence. We're truly thankful. It's indicative of your interest in things divine, and we're glad to have you. And as was mentioned by Connelly in the announcements, we're glad to have all the visitors with us. Brother Wesley Hysel and his good wife and baby from South Haven are with us. Always good to see Wesley here. On a personal note, good to have my grandson, Brett Hoagland, from the Dallas area. Brett's with us today. And in regard to our congregation, it's good to see Sue and Martha back with us. They were here on Wednesday night, and they're both here on this Lord's Day or for this Lord's Day morning service. And that's very good that they're able to be back with us here at West Boonville. It's good to have you. We're going to talk for a little while today on the gospel and Old Testament example. You know, ladies and gentlemen, human nature hasn't changed a great deal since Adam and Eve. And sometimes we wonder why we can't convert people as we would like. And maybe by studying a few of these examples, we understand why. And I think this lesson today will open up why we can't convert a lot of folks, because they have to have the right attitude toward the Word of God, which this man in the Old Testament at first did not have. But he later acquiesced and actually did what God said. Read in your hearing by Brian a few moments ago was a few verses from 2 Kings 5. And this has to do with Captain Naaman of the Syrians, the mighty man of valor. You know, I've always been impressed with Naaman, because in it there are so many lessons taught. First of all, greatness is not a synonym for salvation. You know, when I read all of these accolades and all of these adjectives and the eulogy of Naaman, I think how great he was in Syria. You know, he was on a pedestal. He was a great man. He was a powerful man. He was a man of valor, which means bravery. He was sort of the generalissimo of Syria. And the people looked up to him. I want to tell you, if he'd run for president of the United States and would have the same position among people here in the United States, he'd be a landslide as president. Because all the people of Syria really loved this man. Matter of fact, he had money, he had power, he had prestige. He had it all as far as this world is concerned. He had it all. But did you notice in the context that little conjunction "but"? And I want you to notice here on the overhead some of the things about Naaman. If you will notice up here, it says, "But he was a leper." When you converse with someone and they say, "You know, do you know old John Doe?" "Oh, yeah, I know John. Well, you know, he's a good man. He's a good family man. He pays his debts. He goes to church. He doesn't whip his kids too hard." And just give you a lot of accolades about him and tell you how great he is. But as they're talking, they say, "But." You can get ready for something when that conjunction hits you. There's something negative coming. You see, everything's been positive. All these good things. But. That's in the text. But what? But he was a leper. That sort of took the starch out of Naaman. It sure did. It sort of compensated for everything good you said, because as one man says, "Preacher, if you don't have health, you don't have anything in this world." And there's a lot of truth in that. And Naaman didn't have health. He had everything else. Everybody looked up to him. He had money. He had power. He had prestige. He had everything you'd want in his hand. But what? Well, he was a leper. You know, leprosy in the Old Testament is what sin is to the soul. There was no earthly cure. Back in those days, there wasn't. It was what we call terminal. It started with little white spots on your hands, and they turned into sores, then they spread all over your body, and then they killed you. You know, in the days of Jesus, they had leper camps. They put them in a pen off out here. They wouldn't let them associate with the other people. You remember Jesus cleansed the 10 lepers, and only One came back to thank him. You remember that? He said, "Where are the nine?" Leprosy was a dreadful disease. So is sin. You see, the parallel is between leprosy and sin. And that's the analogy I'm going to make today, because it is true. Now, you might find a man today that has greatness. He might have power, prestige. He could be a king. He could be the president of the United States. He could be anything. But he's a sinner, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody's committed sin. And just as leprosy was terminal and brought death, so does sin bring death. You know, the soul that sinneth, Ezekiel 18, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, that death there means separation from God. It means going to hell, really. If you don't get rid of this disease of sin, you're like Naaman, it's fatal. And as you see on the chart above, Naaman had this dreadful disease, and the good thing about it, though, is he knew he had it. Now, that's good. You couldn't have convinced him he didn't have leprosy. And secondly, he knew the consequence of it. You've got to know you're a sinner. There are two things on the chart that you've got to know before you can convert somebody. One is he's got to know he's a sinner. Number two is he's got to know the consequence of it. And if he doesn't know what sin's going to do to him, if it's been minimized, then, oh, everybody sins. It's not going to hurt you. Just forget it. Then you never convert a person unless he knows the consequence of sin. It's the worst thing in the world. It's worse than leprosy. Although there's an analogy between the two. They both bring forth death. One of them brings forth physical death, and the other spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God. And I like this lesson, and I like this from 2 Kings 5, because he knew he had it. He had it. He knew he had it. If some of his buddies back in those days would have said, "Naaman, you mind having a little conversation with me? I'd like to talk to you. Haven't you been having some trouble?" He said, "Yeah, I've got leprosy." And that man looked at him and he'd say, "Naaman, I don't want you to be a pessimist. I believe you've got a skin rash. I think you're too pessimistic about that. I don't think that if you'll forget and put some salve on there, those sores will be gone in a few days." You know what Naaman would have told him? He said, "Friend, what are you trying to do? Deceive me? You see the door over there? I don't want to hear any more of that. I know what I have. I'm going to die. I've got leprosy. You're not going to convince me with some mealy-mouthed talk and minimize," and some people minimize sin, and they go, "Oh, sin, don't worry about it." They do the same thing to sin as some folks would have done to leprosy. He said, "It's a skin rash." Naaman said, "Don't try to tell me that. I know what I have, and I know I'm going to die. So I don't need any more talk like that." That's good, isn't it, that he knew? And I want to tell you, my friend, before you're going to convert a sinner, he's got to know he is in sin. If he thinks he's saved when he isn't, you can't do anything with him. He said, "Oh, you need to go talk to somebody else. I'm not a sinner." Maybe he's never even been born again. Maybe he's never been baptized for the remission of sin. And yet he thinks he's saved. He doesn't think he has sin. Naaman knew better. And that man needs to know better. And until you convince him he's a sinner, you're never going to save him. You're never going to save him. And so what happened was, since he knew he had this dreadful disease, his army had gone out and captured the little Hebrew maiden and made her servant of Naaman's wife. And that little girl made a statement one time which just blew Naaman away. She said, "If my Lord would go unto the prophet of Samaria," said, "he'd cure him of his leprosy." Well, Naaman was like a drowning man grabbing at a straw. And I tell you, if you go to a doctor and he tells you only have 6 months to live and that something is terminal, you're going to be like a drowning man grabbing at a straw. You're going to say, "Where could I go to a doctor maybe that could help me with this? I don't want to die. I want to live. I don't want to die. I wonder if there's a doctor in the United States that could help me with this disease I have." And I guarantee you, you'd go if at all possible. You know why? You don't want to die physically. But brother, dying spiritually is worse. It's worse. It's worse than dying physically. And you see, people in sin are going to die spiritually, separated from God through it in an eternity. But you can't convince them of that. But once you convince them of the consequence of it, they're going to be like Captain Naaman. They're going to be going about trying their best, seeking a cure, as you have up here on the chart. They're going to try their best. So when he heard about the little maiden said the prophet was married to cure him, he thought he was mistaken. He thought she meant the king of Israel. And so he loaded his chariot up, I guess, with money. He had loads of money. Money wasn't a problem. Leprosy was his problem. Money wasn't a problem with Naaman. You can read in there how many talents of silver he loaded into that chariot and all that money, and he sent it over there to the king of Israel and asked him to come over and cure him of his leprosy. Well, the king of Israel, when he received the message, he says, "Am I God to kill and make alive? Well, I can't do anything about that. I don't know how to tell him to get rid of his leprosy." You know, sometimes people, when they're in sin, they go to the wrong source, and the preacher they go to doesn't know anything about telling them how to get rid of their sin. They go to the wrong source, and when their credulity is trampled upon for the first time, they become discouraged. But not Naaman. He said, "I'm going to keep trying." So the man came back and said, "The king of Israel doesn't know how to tell you to get rid of your leprosy. You're going to still die." Well, that disillusioned him and discouraged him. But he didn't give up. He didn't give up. And finally, Elisha, the true prophet of God, the true preacher, the right preacher, he said, "Send him over here." He heard about it, Elisha did. "Send him over here and I'll tell him how to get rid of his leprosy." And bless your life, he was a man of God and he knew how to tell him to get rid of it. Some preachers don't know how to give you the plan of salvation. They might tell you something on theory, but you go to the wrong source. He went to the wrong source. Some people join the wrong church. I knew a woman in Houston that joined 5 churches before she found the truth. Her name was Law. She told me about it and how she struggled to find the truth. Naaman is struggling to find the truth. He wants to get rid of this dreadful disease of leprosy. And so when Elisha sent word to him, he just tickled Naaman to death. He says, "Boys, load up the chariot again. Put all that money in there." And he says, "Load it up with certain changes of raiment." He just had everything. And he said, "Let's go." I suppose he had a chauffeur to drive his chariot. He had plenty of money. And I just see him sitting in that back seat. And they're on their way to the preacher's house over to see Elisha. And he drives up. And he tells his servant, says, "Go in and tell that preacher, Elisha, that Captain Naaman's here." Well, Captain Naaman was important. He wasn't maybe as important as he thought he was, but he was important. And so the servant went in and says, "Preacher," said, "Captain Naaman's here." He said, "Oh, yes, Captain Naaman, that's the man that has that leprosy?" "Yeah, yeah." Said, "He's waiting on you out here." "Well, it's not necessary for me to go out there." "What do you mean?" He said, "I'm going to tell you what to tell him. I'm going to give you the gospel message to him. I'm going to tell you what the gospel of his salvation is. So you go out there and you tell him, if he'll dip in the River Jordan 7 times, his leprosy will be gone." And he went back out there and said, "Captain," said, "that preacher said for you to go down here to the River Jordan and dip yourself 7 times and your leprosy would be gone." He said, "What? Go dip in the River Jordan?" I said, "Yeah." He might as well have told him to jump in the river, because really that's what he told him to do. Go jump in the river. And you know, when you give the gospel to some people, instead of obeying it, you might as well have told them to go jump in the river, because they're not going to do it. You know what his reaction was? He got mad. He turned away in what the Bible calls a rage. Now, when you get into a rage, you're mad as a hornet. But why was he mad? He didn't like the message he heard. He didn't like the gospel. He said, "Behold, I thought he would come out and in the name of his God strike his hands over me and my leprosy would be gone." He had his salvation figured out before he ever heard a gospel sermon. And that's what some folks do in Boonville today. They've got it all figured out before they ever read the Bible. You can't do that, neighbor. It'll get you into trouble. You can't get rid of the dreadful disease of sin by having your mind made up before you hear the gospel. That's why I said this is the gospel in Old Testament example. It's one of the most powerful lessons that you'll read in the Word of God. Well, he said, I'm not going to do that. And he said, I thought he'd come out and that I'd be saved some other way. I didn't think water had anything to do with it, the Jordan River. What does that have to do with my leprosy? I didn't think that. I don't know where he got that. Well, he got it from God. That was the gospel message. It's where he got it. He said, I don't intend to do it. And I can just see him stomping in the dust. He probably got out of the chariot, was running around and hollering and saying this, and he was mad and all that. His servant seemed to have more judgment than he did. He said, Master, if he'd have told you to do something big, you'd have done it. And that's trouble with a lot of folks. They want to make a big ado about their salvation rather than just obeying the gospel. Let me let you in on a little secret. If you want to be saved, all that's necessary is for someone to baptize you. Because when Philip was in that chariot with that eunuch in Acts 8, when they were riding, he said, see, here is water. What doth him to me to be baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Someone says, how many people were on the bank and witnessed it? No one. There wasn't a single person there except the preacher and the sinner. You don't have to make something big out of your salvation. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for people to witness a baptism. That's fine. But it isn't necessary. If a man wants to be saved and he has someone that will baptize him just like Philip, that's all that was there, and I can prove it by the Bible, they went down to the water. There wasn't a single other person there. The servant said, Naaman, if he'd have told you to do some big thing, you'd have done it. Well, that's a problem. People want to make a big ado about salvation instead of just obeying a simple plan of salvation. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. That's all it is. That's how simple it is. But they want something big about it. Some want to come to the mourner's bench and pray and say the Holy Ghost is going to come down on them and convict them and convert them and thus going to be saved by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That had nothing to do with their salvation. Baptism of the Holy Ghost was a promise, not a command. You obey commands and enjoy promises. But anyway, Naaman finally came to his senses. Now, this is a good part of the lesson. He cooled off. He's mad, but he cooled down. He cooled down. And he said, if I'm going to get rid of this and this is going to kill me, I'm going to walk by faith, and I don't understand what that river water has to do with it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to obey it. I'm going to do what God says, but I'm doing this by faith, not by logical reasoning. I had it all figured out logically, but that didn't work. Now I'm going to walk by faith, and I'm going to go down that river Jordan, and I'm going to dip, just as he said. So he told his servant to get back in. They went down to the river Jordan. And he went down into that water one time, two times, three times, four, five, and six. And if he looked at himself, and he may have, he still had leprosy when he went down the sixth time. Because God said seven. He didn't say six. God said seven. You got to listen to God. He went down in that seventh dip, and you know when he came up, he looked at his skin, and you know what it was? His skin was as that of a child. Now, if you can have the skin of a child, you've got beautiful skin. You know, women spend millions of dollars to put lotions and stuff on their skin, makes them look younger. They want the skin of a child. Well, most of us would like to have the skin of a child. Be pretty good, wouldn't it? And that's what the good book says. It says when he came up, what did it mean? Well, all his leprosy is gone. God didn't just half heal him. He completely healed it. And when the good book says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever, saith the Lord. When you go down into the waters of baptism and you come up from, you come up to walk in the newness of life, I want to tell you, just like the skin of a child, your sins are all gone. Just like the leprosy was all gone, your sins are gone, my friend. But you have to walk by faith. You see, people will say, and I've had them say, "Preacher, I don't believe in water salvation." I don't either. But if God wants to use water as an instrument in his hand to deliver, he has the right to do it. And indeed he did. And when you walk by faith and gladly receive the word, you know what the Bible says in Acts 2? Well, it says the ones who gladly received the word were baptized. Did you know that Captain Naaman at first did not gladly receive the word of God? He sadly received the word of God because he didn't like what it said. But he changed his view. He then gladly received the word of God from Elisha, the true prophet of God, and he went down and did what God said. And then when he came up from the river Jordan, he didn't praise the water, and he said, "This is water salvation. I was saved by water. Thank God for the Jordan River." Is that what he said? No. Read your Bible. He said, "I know now there's no God except the God of Israel." He gave God the glory. He didn't praise the water. I know people will prejudicially say, "Those folks in the Church of Christ believe in water salvation. We believe in no such thing. We believe in doing what God says. We give God the glory, not the water. The water is merely an instrument in the hand of God whereby we are delivered." And when Naaman came up from that water, he didn't praise the Jordan River. He said, I know now that there's no God except the God of Israel, because his leprosy was gone. When you go down into the waters of baptism, you understand that that water is merely an instrument in the hand of God, and that God will deliver you from sin, and your sins will be washed away. "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." Acts 22:16. That's what Ananias told Paul. So what happened to Paul happened to Naaman, except Naaman got rid of leprosy and Paul got rid of sins. Isn't that simple? You'd have to have help to keep them understanding that. Brother, you'd have to have a lot of help to keep them understanding where baptism stands in the remedial system. It's, as one man said plain enough, it jumps out and talks to you. And that's right. And so when Naaman obeyed, and as soon as he obeyed, he was saved. Now let's transpose that as we bring our lesson to a close. Let's transpose it over to the gospel, and I want to show you how simple it is. Naaman realized he had leprosy. He sought a cure. When he went to the wrong source, he didn't give up. You don't want to give up. If you go and someone tells you false doctrine, don't give up. You just hang in there. Just like he did. He hung in there. He found the right man. The right man told him what to do. He didn't like it at first. It made him angry. But he later acquiesced. And he did what God said. Now, I have preached for a number of years. I've had some people to get so angry when they hear me preach that they've walked out on me. I've had several people just walk out on me because they turned away in a rage. Well, someone says, "Well, why?" They didn't like what I said, and I gave them book, chapter, and verse. I gave them the Word of God. But I've had some of the same people to later change their mind and obey. I was in a meeting at Desdemona, Texas, a little town down in central Texas, under kind of a brush arbor years ago. I held several meetings down. And there was a boy going with his girlfriend, and he'd come to the meeting. And he listened to me preach. And he told me one night, says, "Preacher, you ain't going to get me." He was a member of another church there. He said, "You're not going to get me." Well, I said, "I'm not trying to get you." I said, "I'd like to see you obey the gospel." Well, he said, "I'm a member of another church." Well, did you know, bless your life, before that meeting's over, he came up like Naaman and changed his mind, and I baptized him. I didn't get him, but the Lord did. He got him with the gospel. The boy was convicted. Just like Naaman changed his mind. Oh, it made him mad at first. He didn't like water being involved in his salvation. But he changed his mind. and he got rid of his disease. Now, isn't that simple? I hope if you're here today and you're subject to the gospel invitation, that you'll come doing that little simple plan. And it's simple. It isn't anything big. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you've got to do that and repent of your sins and confess it, because Matthew 10:32 tells you to do that. And then you've got to be baptized for the remission of sins. Yes, I know there's water involved in it. I understand that. But we don't praise the water. It's not water salvation. It's salvation from God. He just happened to use water as an instrument in his hand. He did that in the case of Naaman. And he still does it. He still does it today, because the gospel, the eunuch said, see, here is water. Water, W-A-T-E-R. And Cornelius says, can any man forbid water? You know what water is. Everybody knows what water is. We drink it every day. There's plenty of it in the world. And you must be baptized in water for the remission of sin. Now, isn't that simple? But you have to walk by faith. Don't walk by logical reasoning. If you do that, you'll never come. Naaman, if he'd have gone by logical reasoning, he'd have never got rid of his leprosy. But he shifted over to faith. I want you to walk by faith. And faith comes by the word of God. If you're here in subject, we hope you'll come today. And we're going to invite you to just stand with Gene and sing her invitation.